Alright, what's good, world? It's your boy Mastermind Mind, and this is another weekday drop. Listen, man, this is the mid-June, almost July weekday drop. But listen, man, I had to come in and talk to y'all about some spicy stuff we got cooking up, man. But before we jump into the show, listen, man, follow your boy everywhere, Mastermind RGTV on YouTube and on IG. The podcast is out everywhere, worldwide, Amazon, we everywhere. RGTV, the classic shows, Real Gamer on all podcast platforms. We are here, we there, we everywhere, baby. Listen, man, be sure to follow me too personally at Master23Mind. We got some cool stuff rocking on over there with the music stuff too, man. But listen, man, we got a hot show for y'all. I ain't gonna be too long here, man. I promise I'm not gonna make this like a 2-hour show. For real, man, because there's so much stuff been happening in the gaming and tech industry. I know I've been into the stocks and things too, so you feel me? I be out of here, man. I be so busy. And there's so much stuff I be on to, man. I can't keep up with all of this information that's just been pouring into me, man. Let's jump right into it. So last episode, y'all know we had the brothers on, man. Shout out to the homie Q and to the homie Lord Spartan. You know what I'm talking about? We had a good show, man. Y'all be sure to check out the previous episode of the podcast and beginning of June weekday drops. Amazing show, man. Still hot. Couple stuff I was breaking down about Apple and AI and some other things and whatnot. Definitely cool. I'm gonna be touching a little bit into that into this episode. That's why I brought it up. We supposed to came back in here and did the summer game fest after. You know, we did that before, whatever. So we're gonna talk a little bit about some of the games we seen at summer game fest and two blockchain ideas for Starfield and this some. I think it's some game they show where you can build your own city. But that game, but I got a really cool idea. But just that's some of the stuff I'm gonna be kind of just tapping into, man. But let's jump right into this Mario situation real fast. I want to jump onto Nintendo. We're gonna start the show off talking about Nintendo. You know what I'm talking about? So we're a little bit closer to the mic, man, because some of my videos, this is my rap microphone, so my volume be a little low. You know what I'm talking about? But listen, man, we got some Mario RPG. Now, for those that don't remember a Mario RPG, go on here, do your little research. Go back, look at the classic Mario RPG. So I think it's pretty interesting because seeing the old and look like they're redoing it exactly how the classic Mario RPG situation was. And for them to, like, you know, redo a game, like, bravo, hands off to Nintendo for doing that. And two, I think it's really cool to see Mario in a different light. You know what I'm saying? Other than how we normally would see them in a 3D or a 2D setting or whatnot, we're getting something different. It looks a little bit like a Final Fantasy almost. You got HP, hit points, you got MP, magic power, different stuff like that. You even get to have Bowser on your team. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like a Final Fantasy RPG game using Mario characters. So, you know, it's pretty cool to see Mario in a different element, in a different light, and for them to remaking it just like they did the classic Mario RPG, I take it. Another Mario game, Mario 2D game, dropping in October. That's pretty cool because, you know what I'm saying, I'm just be straight up with y'all, man. Every Mario game that pretty much drop, they always look the same, but it's always one of those games be like, can't wait to get my hands and play that, because, you know, we just love the nostalgia of Mario and just playing Mario and seeing this new Mario 2D game. It's something about a new Mario game that just catches my attention, and it's just like, yo, I want to play it. You know what I'm saying? And especially it gives you the feel of a new game, even though we're playing on old hardware. Nintendo, we need some new hardware. We're going to dive deep into that in just a second too, spending off talking about AMD. But coming back to Mario 2D game, it gives you that new feel of, hey, I'm playing a new game and I'm playing it on a new console, because the graphics is, you know, more up to date versus the other Mario games that you've seen on the same console. So it just gives you that new feel, and kind of like when you buy a new pair of shoes, like, yo, I got these new pair. It's a good feel. So I had that feeling when I seen the Mario 2D game, and I was like, yo, that's what's up. I'll definitely take that. Now, I want to spin this off talking about Nintendo new console that need to be dropping sooner or later. So check this. We got AMD. Oh, yeah, I know I'm in the tech field too. So it's a couple of, this is going to spin this off to a tech conversation also. We got AMD basically jumping into the AI field. And on the previous episodes, I was talking about NVIDIA, how they're in the AI field or whatnot, and how that can be the potential, the next generation consoles like the PlayStation 6 or the next Xbox, they can probably be using NVIDIA, because NVIDIA, this whole new power around AI whatnot is powered on NVIDIA chips. So that opens the door opportunity for NVIDIA for the next gaming generation cycle to come around. But then when I seen AMD getting into it, and they're basically saying, yo, we're gonna make some chips just as good as NVIDIA, and we're gonna even give you more memory with them. So it's one of those things to where it's like, okay, now we talking about a good little competition here. Because remember, these are not just AI powered chips. These are chips that's really powerful. And when you stretch the possibilities and the creative things I foresee for gaming, match that along with these powerful chips on top of the AI power. Listen, man, I can't really express or really explain where gaming is about to go and how much competition that opens up in the space. And because I'm thinking about games, perfect example, I'm thinking about games like deep RPG games like The Witcher. We know we got a new Witcher's game coming out. Imagine seeing, you know what I'm saying, these new games coming out. And I'm talking about, this is a futuristic idea play here. I'm talking about next generation consoles powered by new AI chips, and we're getting something like The Witcher. So this new, I say The Witcher because The Witcher is a very deeply immersive game, and it's probably not going to come out no time soon, maybe 2025, maybe 2024, end of 2024 at the most. So that's why I'm saying I'm using Witcher for example. So let's say a new Witcher's game, future console, 2028, around that time, using AI chips. Your competitor, let's say if Xbox take the NVIDIA route, and let's say if PlayStation stick with AMD and take their route. Let's say if we get the Witchers over here, or the Witchers over here, or however you want to do it. But the AI in a deep immersive game like The Witchers would be incredible. Think about the dialogue that's already pre-recorded or whatever in The Witcher's game. How much dialogue is it? It's a lot. It's a lot. So imagine the new game, new chips, new technology, AI is really embedded into the game. You talking about, so for The Witcher's Wild Hunt, that game had like 20 different endings. Imagine AI, using AI tools, getting into the gaming space. There can be so many different endings, and each player, people that play the game, can kind of create or rewire the story of the game, but still keep it in a ecosystem of the game. You know what I'm saying? Not nothing crazy, but you can like really kind of go through the story your own little way. And I think the future of gaming and the future of AI will allow us to do those things. So just keep that idea into play, because there's many other games that be a perfect example, but The Witcher is one that just popped up. And keep hold that thought, because I want to go in talking about Starfield for a second. So check this. Microsoft did an amazing job at Summer Game Fest with the Xbox showcase or whatnot. Yo, I give my hats off to you, Xbox. You did pretty good. I'm really feeling this Starfield, yo. Let's talk about it, baby. Let's talk about it. Listen, I'm really feeling this Starfield. I'm really feeling it. It's kind of like, it's almost like the best of the best RPG open world game, but just out of space. And it got the whole like Battlestar Galactica, Dark Matter, these space shows, you know what I'm saying? Got the space show vibe to it, and so many different places you can go. Boom, a game like this, perfect example. So I was looking at the trailer, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, yo, this is where blockchain technology can really, really, really play a big part and do something amazing in gaming and something innovative. So a game like Starfield, if they was to integrate blockchain technology into a game like that, I don't think they will, but this is just me and my thoughts. But if they integrate a system of blockchain technology into a game like Starfield, being able to where we're able to think about it. If you get the entire universe, you got these different planets or whatnot. You got so many people playing the game, and you can be bad guys, good guys, different planets, explore the planets, different stuff on the planets. Think about all of the real time buying and selling within the game it can be. So let's say I capture this planet right here, and if I want to rent some land on my planet, you feel what I'm saying? We can use tokens within the game, you feel what I'm saying, to buy some of this land. Let's say if I stop playing the game and I would like to sell my land, or someone want to put a bid up, boom, cool, sell my land to them because I no longer play the game. I cash out on this land game currency for cash out on it. You know what I'm saying? Boom, bada bing. That would be amazing. That would be freaking amazing. And I think the future of gaming, so these are the two double-edged swords to it. If you put a game in a situation like that, let's say, because see, my honest opinion as a gamer, it's going to dominate, because even if the gamer is playing, and let's say we get a greedy gamer to where the gamer is playing, and let's say if we only had the game for about a month or a couple weeks or so, and we begin to buy and trade or sell or whatever on the game, and we cash out and just get rid of the game, I honestly think you're gonna have a little bit of that, but you're still gonna have the diehard gamers that's gonna spend so much time into a game like this, because the mechanism of buying, selling, and trading within, aka blockchain technology integrated in the game, won't just be the main spotlight of the game. The game is still gonna have its main spotlight, but you're just adding something extra to where it's a utility, to where now us gamers can really benefit off of the game we just purchased. So I think if they was to really integrate blockchain technology into a massive world like Starfield, would be incredible. A massive world like the game I was thinking about, this city game, this game to where you can build cities or whatnot. I immediately thought about, what's the place? I can't think of the name off the top of my head right now, but there is a metaverse world. Shout out to all my blockchain homies. We used to hang out in the world. I can't think of the name of it right now. But when I seen this city game, I thought about when they buying metaverse space. You feel what I'm saying? Boom, use the mana tokens, sandbox tokens, different stuff for that. When you're in a sandbox world where you're buying spaces in this metaverse world, I seen the city game. It's like, boom, yo. If you integrate this technology into a game, a massive game like this game, the city game, you add an extra layer of immersiveness and fun to the game. Because imagine if I really love this city game, because I think it has the ability to create the future, home designers, builders of the future, because you can really like build out an entire city. You feel what I'm saying? So other than just the aspect of just building out your city, what if you're able to really build out a city in this digital world and sell your city or sell the buildings or sell the homes in this digital world. And then you get a vibe like PlayStation Home. See, this is what I think the future of gaming need. Man, just call all the execs up, tell them to come holler at your boy Mastermind. Listen, this is what I think they need. A situation like PlayStation Home, to where, and The Sims, integrate that into a game like the City game under the blockchain technology. Bonkers. Game of the year. Done. It'd be fire. And I think games will need to start to merge to make something. I think the next level of innovation outside of hardware is going to be software, to where where you're able to basically kind of merge games together. And the perfect ideal I'm thinking about that when I say that is, think about something like The Sims, where you create your character, you create your home or whatever, you can walk around. Go into more depth, think of something like the PlayStation Home when they had it back in the day. So boom, check this. We already know PlayStation got blockchain filings and patents and things. We already know that. So boom, let's say if we got PlayStation Home only for PlayStation, we put people in this digital metaverse. We already got the VR2. And integrate it with a game like the City game, to where now you can easily build you out a city, create communities, have your entire community. Shout out to my Discord community. Hop in the Discord in my digital library while y'all playing, tap in. You can have your entire community here in this digital metaverse world. And you're immersed double the times because you have the PlayStation VR2. That would be an amazing thing, because not only you have your community in this digital world, you're able to do these things, you're able to buy and sell and trade. And so you're not just playing a game, but this game is now turned into a utility of things. And how is it a utility of things? Boom, let's integrate games within real life. So let's say if we have what's the VR games where you fix cars and stuff? You feel what I'm saying? These games that we have, that's like, check this out. I was in a VR place and watching the kids play the VR, and they're playing, Job Sims? They're playing this VR game and they're fixing on the car. And I'm like, yo, bro, if I had this game when I was younger, if I played this game when I was younger, I could have learned car skills, mechanic skills or whatever at a younger age. I believe that these games has the ability to teach our children the future, or I teach our children a future skill set. And when you think of that matter, now the game is providing a real utility, because that utility is now teaching us a skill set that will help us in the real world. Let's just say we had a water plant or something. Well, we put our virtual goggles on or the controller and we start playing through this game to build up a community or to build a water plant. And now the same builds that we're using, or the community we're getting together raising funds for, can now be utilized in the real world to build a real world water plant. You know what I'm saying? So these are just different ideas that I feel like gaming can, with the power of blockchain technology under so many different ideas and layers, can really be a real life utility in so many different ways. So it's so many different ideas that come to mind when I think of those, but I just immediately thought of Starfield and the City game. That'll be perfect. But going back to Starfield, man, look, Xbox, and it's on Game Pass. Listen, man, I'm gonna have to go on hit dust the air off this joint here. For all my audio people over on the podcast, man, y'all need to swing on over to YouTube and see me holding this Xbox controller in my hand. Listen, man, I might have to go ahead and knock the dust off the Xbox controller, man, because that Starfield game, yo, I honestly feel like that's going to be game of the year. Real talk. Probably Legend of Zelda. Man, Legend of Zelda, y'all done pulled off a good one with this one. But with Starfield, man, so a couple things I had a problem when I was looking at the trailer and hearing them talk about it. They're still running the game at 30 frames, but when he explained it, it was like, I understand. I respect it. But I'm going to tell you why it immediately was a red flag after I get through saying my full statement. That was one, the fact that I love that you can switch from first person to third person. Y'all know I talk about that a lot on the show. So when I first heard that, I was like, oh, banger, take it. The graphics look good, but I did notice they kind of only really focus a little bit on facial or the person itself, and not too much of offset. So if it's hard to explain because I ain't got the video up here side by side, but when I was looking at it, I just noticed some stuff. I'm like, yo, those graphics could actually look better than that, but they're not bad. I'm not saying they're bad, but put that joint on PlayStation. Even on PlayStation, I just feel like these hardware devices, the PS5 and the Xbox, they're not pushing the graphics to this limit. And I understand, you know, they're probably, we're early in the cycle of it. We don't want to give you full power of the hardware just yet. I respect and hear all of that stuff, but I just know that the power in these hardwares, they can be pushed, and they can be pushed a lot harder. So with that being said, because if we can come out with a PS5 Pro or some mid-cycle console that can use 30% more of the GPU, why can't we just push out an update or a firmware update to say, hey, let's utilize more of the GPU power? They can do that, because technically they kind of do that with updates already, with a little bit for what's the word they call it, stability updates or something like that. But you feel what I'm saying? And when I seen that, the graphics on Starfield was like, oh, they look good, but I know it can be better than that, you know. Just a couple of things I noticed, and I wasn't too much of a fan of the 30 frames per second, because again, I feel like all games need to be 60 frames to 120. We don't need nothing else 30 frames. 30 frames and 1080p, that's old. Everything from this point on need to be 60 frames, 4K, 120, 4K, 120, 8K. If you give me 8K, give me 60 frames, at least. Don't come around here with no 30 frames, 1080p, 720. No, I don't want none of that. That's so 2000. You feel what I'm saying? So that was one of the things, was like, yo, can't wait for it. Moving on, talking about this Mortal Kombat 1. Ooh boy, I think I talked about it a little bit on the previous episode, so I'm not going to go too deep into it. But I will say, they've done something on this Mortal Kombat here, man. Shout out to the brother Hip Hop Gamer too, man, because he interviewed one of the guys on Mortal Kombat. And yo, go look at that interview. Go look at the interview. But shout out to the brother, man. Go look at the interview. But this Mortal Kombat 1, bro, the graphics is, man, listen. Street Fighter look good, I ain't gonna lie. But this Mortal Kombat 1, baby. Can I get some fire? I need that. Shout out to the Wall Street Trap. I need me a fire in the background. I just flamed y'all. Listen, man, this Mortal Kombat 1 graphics is amazing, man. The detail of the graphics, the background of even when you're fighting, the background looks so real. And yo, it had a lot moving in the background. When games have a lot moving in the background, especially fighting games, when games have a lot moving in the background and you're already doing something, and the graphics, the polish, the lighting, all this stuff is already popping, and you still got stuff moving in the background on top of your character fighting or whatever, yo, amazing. And I think what this Mortal Kombat was able to do with the graphics has now set the bar for fighting games 2024. Excuse me. Shout out to Street Fighter. Graphics look amazing over there on Street Fighter 2. Don't get it twisted. The graphics look, you know, more like a little bit two different. You know what I'm saying? Street Fighter's done something amazing with their graphics. But Mortal Kombat 1, oh baby. Oh, and the fatalities on there. Man, listen. The fatalities on there is disrespectful. You heard me? Like, it's crazy, bro. But can't wait to get my hands on that, man, to do some fatalities and enjoy the graphics. I can't wait to see what different game modes they gonna have on there and the different stuff they was able to do. Like I said, with having a secondary character or whatnot, they introduced that. That's pretty dope. The first thing that caught my eye was the graphics. That's just the number one talking point of Mortal Kombat right now. But moving on, talking about this, we got another surprise. Final Fantasy VII, Part 2 or whatever. And it's going to be on a 2-disc. So, it's the thing. I'm not mad at it, but I just wasn't expecting it. Because we already getting, what's the Final Fantasy 16? These damn Roman numeral numbers and stuff. We're already getting Final Fantasy 16, and I wasn't expecting them to really show Final Fantasy 7 because we was thinking that 16 was going to get all the light and all the praises right now. So when it's something that you're not expecting, it's like, y'all not going to put the light on this one? Oh, that's cool. Y'all can put a light on both of them. Well, okay. So a game like Final Fantasy VII, it kind of made me want to go back and kind of jump back into the story because it's going to be picking up where it left off at. And the story in VII, you know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. It's not a bad story. It's just, it's hard to keep up with. And it's kind of like, colluded a little bit. It's hard to keep up with. I'll just say that much. But the gameplay and the comeback and all that stuff is pretty cool. And just, it's Final Fantasy. You feel what I'm saying? It's just one of those worlds and stories that you just get locked into and just driven into. So that's why I kind of want to go back. But when this one dropped in 2024, did I even get 100% on Final Fantasy 7? I don't know, but. For this to be on the 2-disc, this is going to be a really long game. I think this is probably the first game for like the current gen consoles that's out that to have a 2-disc game. If I'm not mistaken, what, 60, 70 gigs can fit on these discs? I'm probably wrong. I'm not sure. 80 gigs maybe? 80 to 100 gigs? And for this to be 2-disc, talk about trying to bring some fan base into it, like the classic Final Fantasy VII where they had like 4 discs to it. So yeah, that's all this is, you know what I'm saying? It was something else I want to talk about before I rock and roll out of here, let me see. Oh yeah, let's get right to it. So Microsoft is no longer says is no longer making Xbox One games. It's all about the Xbox Series S and X from now on. I mean, let me know what y'all think about that. I look at it like, well, shit, they kind of need to. Because at this point, they kind of... So, check this. Xbox has admitted that, yo, we lost this console race. We lost it. Y'all win, Sony. So, I'm not going to dive deep into this right now in the show. Maybe on another episode because there's so much going on and I didn't read everything about it, but I read some of the stuff. So, you know about the whole Activision, Microsoft trying to buy Activision and they're beefing with Sony. Sony's like, yo, no, we don't want y'all guys buying these guys. And y'all going to take us out of business. That'll really screw us over. Meanwhile, while you're getting all, dropping all these exclusive PlayStations and, you know, so that stuff. The drama is getting heated up and it's getting hot, folks. It's getting hot. So what's going on, man, is it's a lot of little stuff that's cooking up. So let me read one of these articles real fast. Where was it? They were saying something. I'm gonna talk about that one in a minute. said something in an article, and I'm trying to find a glimpse of it. It's so much, man. They are in court today, and Sony, the Sony guy, man, he came through on the video. He said, "I ain't going to court, man. I ain't trying to put my face out there like that, mate." All right, we are back. Anchor, man, I ain't know. I said Anchor. Oh, man, Spotify. Forgot they came in and took over. But we are back. I know y'all kind of got cut that last little bit. But we was talking about this the situation with that Xbox and PlayStation, man. You know, they're in court and everything about Microsoft trying to buy Activision and Blizzard and everything. And PlayStation is afraid that if they do that, that's going to make Call of Duty exclusive to Xbox later on, and they're going to take away other Activision licensed games and things of that matter. So doing the court filings and they also mentioned the next generation consoles. So Microsoft is expects the next Xbox and PlayStation 6 to come out in 2028. We're looking at a time frame around 2028. So let's bounce into that topic, because the last topic I don't want to get too deep into, honestly, man, because it's I don't like to see them fight, man. I'm gonna be straight up with y'all. I just want to see them get back in the ring of creating more innovative things for gamers and make the games great, man. You know what I'm saying? Just continue to do work, man. Continue to put out the games and make amazing things, man. I don't really want to see them fight. As long as they keep Call of Duty alive for all consoles, which I think Xbox will. Of course, what Blizzard got going on with Diablo. Yo, I'm going to talk about Diablo in a second, but what they got going on over there, man, keep it, man. Y'all don't, you know, but it's a deep story. That's why I don't really want to get too deep into it. But so let's check out this time frame. The next PlayStation 6 and next Xbox, 2028. So, you know, we got PlayStation dropping this handheld situation, aka Q-Lite. Something I totally predicted on the show, man. Go check out the classic shows. Go on. You'll catch up later. But this Q-Lite they got coming out, you know what I'm saying? Probably, what did they say? I forgot the date. Was it end of 2024, maybe? I think 2024. So that's going, and possibly maybe a PS5 Pro. Not too many people really happy about that. I know the homie Q wasn't really happy about that one. But so doing this time frame, something to think about. We got AI. We got Web3 gaming that's popping off, that's tied to mobile and cloud. So just looking at a future perspective of where will gaming be in 2028. You got the Apple headset they just revealed. I say by 2028, that should give Apple enough time to, you know what I'm saying, work with Sony or work with someone like Microsoft to do something in the next generation of gaming. And if you got two of the juggernauts in the room planting their flags, saying, "Yo, we're working on something already. We're cooking up some. These are the drop dates, possibly." Letting our developers know, you know what I'm saying? So the future gaming, I think it's going to be really dope. And plus, like I was saying at the beginning of the show, talking about AI, how that's going to play a role in the next generation of gaming. It's going to be ridiculous, man. I don't really want to give a full breakdown. I'll say my full future prediction breakdown, because there's so much stuff I want to get into and break it down. But we'll do that on another part of the show, because I really want to not go into that. But we're going to come back to it on another show. So also looking at this, somebody seen this. It says Sony is looking to buy half of Warner Brothers Discovery Film and TV Music assets for about $500 million. So think about it. You know those DC characters over there that's WB? Or different shows or whatever is over there, WB films and shows, let me get that. I think it'll be a good look for Sony, man, because check this. You got Nintendo moving into the movies and TV show space now, because rumors that we're getting Legends of Zelda, and I'm going to bring this all around. You're going to see how I'm going to bring it all around. We got rumors of a Legend of Zelda movie or TV show. We know we got God of War coming. We know we got Forbidden West TV show movie coming or whatever. We know the track running of this is the year for games to come into the media for movies or TV shows to dominate. So this make perfect sense for Sony to be buying up half of these assets for $500 million. Perfect. Like the dude on Street Fighter. Perfect. This makes perfect sense, man. This makes perfect sense because they can get WB to, you know what I'm saying, work on some of this stuff, or they can utilize WB for a lot of future things that they're going to be doing in the movie and TV space, even in the music space, I feel like, too. So that's a nice little buy to kind of keep your eye on, see what's going to happen with that. Let me see, it was something else I wanted to speak on real quick before I go. Man, this issue with these guys fighting, man, is so much. So Sony PlayStation chief privately said that Microsoft Activision deal wasn't about the Xbox exclusive. What was it about then, PlayStation? Are you afraid that these guys are going to take your number one spot? Oh man, it's so crazy. I just want to have a talk with the homie, you know, and a couple other homies, man, that's locked into the industry. Like, yo, what's really going on? What's up? We ain't NDA signed it. What's up? Why y'all acting like this? What's really going on? Will Xbox come out with something that's just gonna blow PlayStation out the way? Because I can't see Xbox doing so well to where it would just completely blow PlayStation, just blow them out of business. PlayStation is moving, and the way they're moving about this is like, what are y'all so afraid of? Are y'all really scared of Microsoft that bad? I'm gonna play devil advocate here. So Microsoft, they can be a bit of a bully, you know what I'm saying? They can be a bit of a bully because they was back in the day. You remember, they basically saved Apple. You feel what I'm saying? So they can be a bit of a bully and monopoly type tactics or whatnot, but I don't think they really have those things anymore. You feel what I'm saying? But the question is, why is Sony so afraid of them just coming in to change up some stuff when they've been basically doing it the entire gaming history, you know? So that's why I said I really didn't want to get into this issue, because it's so much. Apparently there was the emails, the leaked email or whatever, or where it's out there now, is court, they're in court about it or whatnot. And it's talking about a bunch of stuff, because it's now it's deeper than just the Call of Duty or what they want to do with Activision and all that. It's much more deeper than that. Of course, we know Xbox. This was an interview I was looking at with Xbox CEO. He was saying that by them purchasing Activision and, you know, Blizzard or whatever, that would get them in better in the cloud gaming or in the mobile gaming space a lot better. And when you think about mobile gaming and in a cloud space or whatnot, that's a sector that still is gradually like still growing and still is a spot that they can, that's an opportunity grab straight up. It's like a big thing of pancakes. And they like, yo, we all got served. We can just go and get it, right? So that's the best analogy I can give you. But you feel what I'm saying? that's an opportunity grab. And I'm not mad at Xbox for trying to tackle that opportunity grab. Hell, because when you, at least what I like about Xbox CEO, man, is the fact that he actually plays the games too. He seemed like a very down to earth guy. He's out there talking, he's listening to the gamers or whatnot. He's listening to the community. You feel me? I see him at more in-person live events or whatnot. You feel what I'm saying? When PlayStation CEO, you don't really see him out. You know what I'm saying? I feel like Xbox is like, Xbox CEO reminds me, he's kind of like Elon Musk. Everybody loves Elon Musk. He's cool. He's a rock star. Xbox CEO, he's a rock star. He's cool, man. Like, he's liked amongst the people. You feel what I'm saying? That's a good look. Although it don't really have too much to do with your games or, you know what I'm saying? But for you to be a cool person, even outside of the business or whatever, that's a good look. You feel me? So, and I feel like PlayStation, they don't have that, you know? So could there be in the future, 2028, could there be some type of regime shift or some type of things that can shift the market in that way? Maybe, perhaps, you know what I'm saying? But I do think of, and I'm gonna tie this to my mobile and my cloud point, but I do think if Sony was to engage like Xbox more, because I feel like Xbox is a little bit more transparent on some things, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like if Sony CEO, if they was to get a new CEO or whatever, regime shift, if they was to get a new CEO and he was more like Xbox CEO, more, you know, there at live events and in the community, you know, things of that matter, I think that'd be a good look for PlayStation. You feel what I'm saying? For example, Xbox is trying to find ways to get, that's why they're tackling the mobile sector. They're trying to get gamers all over Africa, South America, everywhere. You feel what I'm saying? And someone said that, I remember this, man, someone said Sony didn't even know Africa was a continent or something like that. They don't pay attention to Africa or something like that. I said, what, bruh? That's a red flag. So, you know, when I heard that, I was like, bruh, to see all the stuff that Microsoft is doing, I was like, yo, we need a regime shift. And could that regime, so I see why Xbox is going after the cloud and after the mobile. Because when you look at mobile, a really big hot sector in mobile is Africa. Africa, with mobile gaming or whatnot, and mobile devices and Web3 on the digital end, this stuff is red hot in Africa right now. Shout out to my brothers out there in Africa. You know what I'm talking about? So things could be heating up in the future in 2028. Could there be a shift to where Xbox could, let's just say if Xbox was to purchase Activision, Blizzard, and everything go through fine, and they did, now we're going to sabotage and take down PlayStation forever. Rah. Yeah, nah, it ain't going to be the same. So I think regardless of what happened, it's going to still be competition. There may be a little shift to where, you know, PlayStation might not have so many exclusive games or whatever, but based on the investments that PlayStation has been making through the years, plus remember they already got patents for blockchain technology, so based on the investments that they've been making for years, bro, it's gonna pay off. And even if it was a shift, they're still gonna do good. So you're gonna still have the competition of Microsoft and Sony. You feel what I'm saying? Or I keep saying Microsoft and Sony, but Xbox and Sony, you're going to still have that competition. So, you know, I don't think it's nothing to really, really be worried about or whatnot. But I will come back and kind of dive in and talk about that sector just a little bit more on another episode, because it's so deep, man. Like in the email, it was saying some other stuff. That's how we now know. Oh, and they also was like, they're not going to share. If Xbox was to go through with this deal with Call of Duty, they said we're not going to share any details about PlayStation 6. We're not going to share any details about PlayStation 6 with for the new Call of Duty or whatever. Whew, these boys talking spicy. So imagine you're a Call of Duty, the next Call of Duty coming out. You're a Call of Duty developer and you're waiting for your PlayStation development kit. And these guys don't send you anything. Well, y'all ain't gonna know nothing about our new console. We straight. Go on. Y'all with Xbox? We got something cooking over here, boy. So, you know, it's one of those things, man. But it's gonna always be forever competition, man. So for all my Sony fanboys out there that's just red hot, like, yeah, take that, Microsoft. You're trying to take us out. And for all the Xbox fanboys out there, like, nah, we're not trying to take you out. You're trying to take us out. Right, right, right. Just the fighting bigger than bagger, man. Just go have fun and play video games, bro. Both of the consoles got great games, bro. Xbox Game Pass. Oh, yeah. Xbox Game Pass prices will be going up. The cost of the Xbox also will be going up. Check whoever you listen to this podcast, if you're in European somewhere or whatever, the prices may be a little bit different, but prices will be going up just like PlayStation jacked their prices up. Remember, not in the US though, just everywhere else. But Xbox is doing something different, but the prices will be going up. But both of these consoles are amazing games. They got amazing games on both of them. So may there be peace and love between both our brothers and sisters over here, man, on the green and the blue side. But shout out to the red side, Nintendo. We need new consoles. Stop playing with us now, man. Real talk, man. Look, that's all I got for y'all tonight, man. 45 on minutes. That's good. That's good. I was hoping that'd do over an hour. But that's all I got for y'all tonight, man. We're going to be rocking back in here, man. Talking about some more stuff. Shout out to the homie MDP. MDP, my brother, I got to get you on the show. Shout out to Prodigy. Let's get it, baby. I got to get you on the show, man. Shout out to my brothers out there in Africa, man. Ace Games, man, they doing some amazing things out there. Kicking butt. Speaking of mobile gaming, let's go, man. Call of Duty Mobile. My boys need to get some consoles out there and get them boys ready for the next Call of Duty, man. For the next Call of Duty. Give my boys a shot, man. All the Activision execs, send my boys a beta copy of your Call of Duty. Let us get ready, just like you let all the other pros or whatever get ready before the game. That's how it be so good, bro. They be putting these boys on betas and alphas before the game even come out. And then when the game come out, us everyday gamers and publics try to come in and try to compete. We don't stand a chance because these guys is already diamond already because they've been playing since the beta and alpha. They've been training these boys since then. Fair competition play. Send my boys a beta copy, man. We'll show you what we're about. That's all I got to say, man. But it's going to change. But believe that, though, man. But be sure to follow your boy, man. Mastermind RGTV on YouTube. RGTV, the classic shows. Real Gamer on all podcast platforms. We got some more episodes coming up, man. We're going to try to have a homie MDP here on the show. We're going to be talking about some Web3 things, things in esports space, and a bunch of stuff, man. And a homie Q, and we're going to try to get all the homies back on, because I got to talk to them about Diablo. We got to talk about Diablo. Now, real fast before I bounce. Diablo, I was looking at it. I don't like the camera angle where the camera is up here and you got to walk down here. Like, maybe on a cold day, but it takes the time for me to get into. But although the story and the comeback and everything looks really cool, I'll definitely play it, but I don't know about owning it. Because that game is, it look like it takes some time to get into. So we got to get the good brothers back on the show, man, so I can get their opinion of Diablo and ask them a couple questions about it. You know what I'm saying? But stay tuned for more, man. Y'all game on, man, and be sure to follow me everywhere. Twitch, Mouse239. I'll be going live playing some, what I'm be playing, man. I laid out the Resident Evil for a little bit, but we got to get back on the Resident Evil so we can get our Infinite Rocket Launcher and some more of them guns that's on there. But be sure to follow me on over there, man. We out. Game on, y'all.